Mr. Crawford, are you ready? Okay. All right, we've finished our study session and now we'll start our city council meeting. We will start, as always, with a moment of silence and the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, Mr. Crawford, could you call the roll, please?
Certainly. We have Karina Higgins.
Present.
Ryan Lopez.
Here.
Richard May.
Present.
And Mary Lou Stewart.
Present.
Eric Davidson, Garth Baldwin, and Mike Hill requested to be excused.
So we do them one at a time?
Correct.
Yes. Okay, so Garth Baldwin. There's only four of us to...
I second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
As 4-0. Mike Hill?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? As 4-0. And...
This one's Richard's motion.
Eric Davidson.
Move that we excuse Eric Davidson.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, pass 4-0. Okay, we have a couple of proclamations that we're going to start. So I'll just go up here and borrow your microphone.
Demonstrating the ease of boating safety demonstrated.
Okay.
All right. Last council meeting and yesterday at the marina, the city had a proclamation wishing the commercial fishing people a safe season for their fishing and pointing out how important the fishing is to the Blaine economy and the Blaine community. And yesterday's ceremony at the marina was lovely for all those fishermen that didn't make it back safely. A flower was placed in a wreath and that wreath was taken out to sea to commemorate them. So that is for those who are going to sea because they have to earn their living and to bring back the food for us. So this one is for those like me who have gone out to sea just to have fun. And the proclamation is, whereas on average 700 people die each year in boating-related accidents in the United States, approximately 80% of these fatalities caused by drowning, and whereas the vast majority of these accidents are caused by human error or poor judgment and not by the boat, equipment, or environmental factors, and whereas a significant number of boaters who lose their lives by drowning each year would be alive today had they worn their life jackets, and whereas today's life jackets are more comfortable and attractive than styles of years past, now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Mary Lou Stewart, Mayor of the City of Blaine, Washington, hereby support the goals of the North American Safe Boating Campaign, Wear It, and the United States Power Squadrons, and proclaim the week of May 20th through May 26, 2023, as National Safe Boating Week in the City of Blaine, Washington, and the start of the year-round effort to promote safe boating. In witness thereof, I urge all who boat it to wear it and practice safe boating habits. Signed this 8th day of May, 2023. So in spite of my fumbling around with this, I wore this all the time over many, many miles of sailing and many, many months of sailing. and we never left the cockpit while we were underway unless we had our life jackets on. And if we left the cockpit, we were always tethered to the lifeline as well. And you'd be amazed how many professional round-the-world sailors disappear because they are not, don't have a life jacket and not tethered in and don't understand safe boating. So I urge everyone to go out, enjoy the water as I have. It's lots of fun, but be safe. Thank you. Okay, this gets even better because this is Provider Appreciation Day. And this is, childcare is very, very important for families and for women to go back to work. And I started 50 years ago thinking I was going to end up working as a part-time teacher and suddenly was obliged to do a course change, career change, which meant I had to go back to school as a penniless student. And the only reason I'm able to be here today, having done what I did, was the city of Vancouver provided me with reasonable, good childcare so that I could go back to my studies without having to worry about the safety and security of my children. So, whereas childcare provides a safe, nurturing place for the enrichment and development of millions of children nationwide and is a vital force in our economy, and whereas the pandemic illuminated how indispensable childcare providers are for the well-being and economic security of Washington State's young children, families, and communities, and whereas childcare programs, which are mostly small businesses run and staffed predominantly by women, are still recovering from health and financial hardships stemming from the pandemic while they have continue to meet the needs of families, and whereas our future depends on the quality of early childhood experiences provided to young children today, support for high-quality childcare represents a worthy commitment to our children's future. Now, therefore, I, Mary Lou Stewart, Mayor of the City of Blaine, hereby proclaim May the 12th, 2023, as Provider Appreciation Day in Blaine and urge all citizens to recognize child care providers for their important work. Okay, we saved the best for the last. And again, I'm wearing this outfit because of a certain reason I'm wearing it, so it isn't by chance. I am honored to be a volunteer member of the Blaine Police Force in their communications section, and therefore it gives me great pleasure to be able to read this proclamation. And I want to recognize we have two police officers in the audience, so again, please remember the important work that they do to keep our city safe. Whereas the Congress and President of the United States have designated May 15th as Peace Officers Memorial Day and the week in which it falls as Police Week. Whereas the International Association of Chiefs of Police has declared police officer safety and wellness a top priority, and the IACP's Center for Officer Safety and Wellness promotes the importance of individual, agency, family, and community safety and wellness awareness. And whereas the members of the Police Department of the City of Blaine play an essential role in safeguarding the rights and freedoms of the citizens of our community, and whereas it is important that all citizens know and understand the problems, duties and responsibilities of their police department, and that members of our police department recognize their duty to serve the people by safeguarding life and property, by protecting them against violence or disorder, and by protecting the innocent against deception and the weak against oppression or intimidation, and whereas the men and women of the Police Department of the City of Blaine unceasingly provide a vital public service, therefore, I, Mary Lou Stewart, call upon the citizens of the City of Blaine and upon all patriotic, civil, and educational organizations to observe National Police Week with appropriate ceremonies and observance in which our community may join in commemorating police officers, past and present, who by their faithful and loyal devotion to their responsibilities have rendered a dedicated service to their communities and in doing so have established for themselves an enviable and enduring reputation for preserving the rights and security of all citizens. I further call upon the citizens of the City of Blaine to observe May 15th, 2023 as Peace Officers Memorial Day to honor those peace officers who, through their courageous deeds, have lost their lives or have become disabled in the performance of duty. In witness whereof, I have hereunto set my hand this 8th day of May, 2023. So could we please have a show of appreciation for our police? Thank you very much. Officers Green and Richardson are here representing the other officers. Thank you very much for being here. Okay, we have a presentation now from the Blaine Arts Council.
I'm Marilyn Mielbach. I represent the Blaine Arts Council. I'm the chair of the Infrastructure Committee. That I'll explain in just a little bit. I'm not an artist, I'm not on the board, but I have a passion for the arts and what it can do for a community. I have been here now for 7 years in Birch Bay, and before that I lived in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho for 30 years. When I got to Coeur d'Alene, the schools were double shifting, is Alex here? Somebody just did that magically. This is our website. It's very good. Thank you. In Coeur d'Alene, they were double shifting in the schools. They weren't passing levies for the schools. They were the mining and the logging jobs, which had kept the city solvent, were disappearing. And tourism was taking over with low-paying jobs. Education was not a priority, the arts were non-existent, and a small group got together and decided to form the Northwest Arts Society or group. And they began to put public art into people's minds and visually into the city. Just last week or 2 weeks ago, I saw something that came across the internet on 10 most up-and-coming cities in the United States. And of those 10, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho was number one. And I think it had a lot to do with the arts. They have all kinds of arts activities. They have sculpture everywhere. And I think that if we pay more attention to the arts, if we support the arts in this community, that Blaine can thrive in the same way Coeur d'Alene has because of that. I want to thank you for the grants that you have given to us over the last 2 years, last year and this year, two $5,000 grants that have enabled us to get started, to get going, to do some of the things that have to be done in order to get an organization off the ground. We have wonderful artists. Our website is an example of what we've been able to do with you, with the money that you gave us. This rotating art that you're seeing is all from members of the Blaine Arts Council. We have a great number of very excellent artists in our community. and many of them are members of the Blaine Arts Council. In 2017, a consultant came to town, probably at your request, and he said that in order for a town to thrive, you need to have, within a three-block area, you need to have 10 restaurants, 10 interesting retail shops, which would include art galleries, art studios, art supply stores, framing shops, things within a three-block area in a community, and then 10 places that are open after 6 p.m. We've made a little progress towards some of that, but we're not really quite there yet. So we have so many possibilities. We want to encourage public art everywhere. We might create an artist market, maybe weekly, like a street fair kind of thing. Establish an active art center for art display, art studios, classes. The closer to downtown we can get all of this, the better. We'd like to draw a few art galleries and studios, maybe the art supply or framing store to downtown Blaine. Create a visual impact with murals over the city, maybe a mural walk of some sort. One of our members has a business doing murals or organizing murals. She gets artists to do the work. And in Sacramento, they have created murals in every school in the Sacramento School District. And there's an alley that people used to walk by and try to avert their eyes as they were going by. And they now bring tourist buses full of tourists to see that alley, to look at the murals that are there. We can do that. The little railroad station that we have downtown, we could reopen that. Tourists could flock to Blaine in order to see that. We, as a council, we want to recognize the local businesses that support the arts, support art events. I would like to see art in every roundabout, sculpture in every roundabout in the city, art on every corner, art in every park. There's so much that we can do that will lift up the whole attitude of the community. I know you have a lot of other things going on, things that are urgent and things that are important. You also have a lot of things that are urgent but not so important. And this is one of those things that is important but not urgent. So it often gets put on the back burner. So I just want to let you know we're here, and we'll be back later for an ask when we have things more coordinated with what we would like to do. If you would like to support us by joining or sponsoring, I'm going to send around the flyers for that. We have a big fundraiser coming up in the end of August, the last weekend in August. It's called The Wave. We will have a juried art show and a silent auction on Friday night, and then art studio tours on Saturday and Sunday. This is a big picture, long-term kind of committee that I'm putting together, but I think it can make a real difference in our community. It will not only bring tourists into our town, give them something to do when they get here, but it will also enrich our residents and lift them up, lift up the whole community. So thank you again for the grants that you have given us. There's a lot that we can do together, and we're here to help and make that happen. So.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, next,
are there any questions?
Is it your society's top mural? She organizes.
Questions were allowed.
She's excellent. She's moved here recently from Sacramento, where she did a lot of this work. She has contact with artists all over the world that have come, and she said will come here to paint for her. There's one that's in Vancouver that's will probably come easily. Her goal is to have a mural, the first mural celebration, I guess you'd call it, and have the mural done by next summer. Not this summer, but next summer. And that's one idea is to paint all the buildings on the backside along the railroad track so that when the train goes by, everybody sees the murals, and then they'll want to get off at the station to come and see more. Thank you. Any other questions?
Hey, thank you very much for your presentation. Hey, we now move to audience participation. Members of the audience will have 3 minutes to speak. If you plan on commenting remotely via Zoom, instructions on how to comment are included at the bottom of the agenda. Okay, we're going to have the audience members speaking remotely will be asked to participate first, and then after the remote audience participation is over, the in-person speakers will be asked to speak. We'll leave a few minutes for the okay, we'll go on, and we have Jackie Braverman. Would you like to come up to the podium, please? And you have 3 minutes to make your presentation.
This will be brief because I was expecting to tell you all what I've been looking at, but since there's only some of you, I'll tell you next time. But what I will say is I'm here just to represent the very many of us who are vigorously opposed not to mobile homes in general, but to a mobile home park. And those of us who have studied it have put a lot of effort into understanding the ramifications of this on the city. So what I'd like to say is, again, we are firmly in support of affordable housing. We do not consider a mobile home park to be that because of the cost of the rent and also the loan is much higher. And what we would like to say is we're not NIMBYs. We're not doing this because we resent having the idea of a park, or rather the idea of the homes. We are against the idea of the park, and we are against the idea that the people in the park will feel ultimately like a blight on the landscape, because that's how, at present, a great many citizens see this. So I would like to again say that we hope that Mr. Jansen will consider selling lots to the people in that area. They could then own their home. They could again get the appreciation of the value of the land. And they could be full-on homeowners rather than halfway homeowners who do not own the land underneath their houses. So I'd like to just repeat that we're strongly, strongly in favor of progress. We're not against it per se, but we do put serious reservations forward about a mobile home park. And if you have a town hall or something like that and lots of notice, I am sure that many more people than came last time will come again to tell you how they feel or how we feel.
We hear you, Jackie.
Okay.
Okay. That's the only name that is on our list, but any other member of the audience who'd like to come up, please give your name and address, and you have 3 minutes.
Stephen Tojic, 1412 Mitchell. I second what she says, pretty much everything. And no disrespect to the developers, but I believe what she says is quite accurate. I mean, homeowners will always take care of their, I wouldn't say always, but have a better chance to appreciate the property and the value of the property. And the people that do not have much to lose might not show that same respect. So I agree with what she said for the most part. Maybe some for my own reasons, but I agree with her. I think we should be very careful how we develop the Blaine area. Because I've lived in a neighborhood we used to call the ghetto. Okay, not that I'm saying Blaine's the ghetto. But I've seen what happens when people open up doors to ideas that have been probably 30, 40, 50, 70 years old, and I've seen the outcome. And now Blaine might be, I mean, I lived in a house that's older than Washington State. So when I tell you, there's a lot of things you need to consider before you make these developments happen. And I know the experience and wisdom, you know, a lot of that's in other places when it comes to this stuff, but please be mindful and do the research. And as far as the certification, the appreciation certificates for the fishermen, do they actually print those out? Can we print those out and give them to some other folks? Or is that an option? I know some fishermen, I'd like to maybe brighten their day with a couple of those, if it's an option.
Mr. Crawford?
Yeah, certainly, these certificates can be printed out. They'll also be made available online if you'd like to print yourself to.
Okay, thank you. All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to step forward now? And
hi, my name is Donald Cruz, 3878 H Street. I just wanted to let you guys know that audience participation via Zoom is very difficult. I'm getting messages from people saying, hey, I can't hear anything, I can't comment. So you guys might just look into that a bit, just so it's easier for people to participate remotely. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to participate before we close this part of the meeting? Okay, thank you very much. So, Mr. Crawford. Okay, thank you. Hey, Mr. Crawford, could we have written communications, please?
Certainly. We have an email dated April 27, 2023 from Maggie Fern regarding mobile home parks. Email dated April 27, 2023. From Ron and Jacqueline Rasmussen regarding no mobile home park. Email dated April 29, 2023 from Tessa regarding mobile home park. Email dated April 29, 2023 from Travis Sipes regarding H Street mobile home park. And a new email dated May 5th, 2023 from Stacy Prasher regarding the upcoming job fair and Oyster Fest.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, moving on to the consent agenda. Items listed below will be enacted by one motion. If separate discussion is desired on an item, that item may be removed from the consent agenda and placed on the regular agenda at the request of a council member. There's a voucher memo, approval of bills, $302,022.18, a wire register, $346,999.84, approval of payroll, $740,440.63, approval of March 24th, 2023 City Council retreat minutes. Approval of April 24th, 2023 City Council meetings. Material testing services award for the G Street sewer improvements. Amendment 003 to the G Street sewer improvements project design contract with David Evans and Associates. A bid for streetlight purchase for inventory. And resolution 1919-23, declaring certain property as surplus. Could I have a motion, please?
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Is there a seconder?
A second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Consent agenda's passed 4-0. We have one council action items, ordinance 23-2996, amending Chapter 3.80 of the Blaine Municipal Code to add an exemption to traffic impact fees for early learning facilities. Ms. Prachner, please.
Thank you so much, Madam Mayor. Good evening, Madam Mayor and council members. Always a pleasure to present to council. So provided in your agenda packets in advance of tonight's meetings is a request for council to deliberate and consider approving an ordinance to amend Title III of the Blaine Municipal Code. This ordinance and the accompanying red lines would add a partial exemption to traffic impact fees for early learning facilities. The city manager, the finance director, and myself all recommend that council consider approving those code updates. The proposed updates include new language in Chapter 3.80 of the code to exempt early learning facilities from paying 80% of their required traffic impact fees per the traffic impact fee formula that's currently adopted in Title III. This is stated in a new section of the code that's been added specifically on page 14 of 19 in your packets. We've also proposed with the red lines some brief regulatory background language on the exemption at the beginning of the chapter. We've also provided a proposed definition for early learning facilities at the beginning of the chapter as well. This came about, and council may recall, that the ability for local jurisdictions to enact this exemption was authorized during Olympia's 2021 legislative session. There was a passage of House Bill 1331, and then ultimately there was adoption and implementation in Chapter 82 of the RCWs. The reason we're bringing this to council's consideration at this time is because the city's hearing examiner just approved the expansion of an early learning facility in Blaine, and that's Little Sprouts. They're located along Peace Portal Drive. Now, that expansion triggers a pretty considerable amount of traffic impact fees. Therefore, myself, the city manager, and the finance director wanted to present these potential edits and the resulting reduction in traffic impact fees for early learning facilities, in this case, Little Sprouts, most immediately. We wanted to present these changes to code for council's consideration. We do acknowledge in the RFCA that granting exemptions from a portion of impact fees, it's going to result in less impact fee revenue from early learning facilities that are looking to expand in Blaine. And we would anticipate that would potentially be part of the policy deliberation that you'll have this evening. So in summary, we do all recommend that the council approve the ordinance, provide some relief for a portion of the traffic impact fees that are due now for new and expanding early learning facilities. I appreciate your attention. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions for Ms. Bratcher?
Yeah, I just have a few. So this only applies to traffic impact fees, excludes park, school, fire, all that, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and then how many potential early learning facilities are potentially being built or expanding in our city?
We're only aware of Little Sprouts at this time.
Okay. And then do we know how many square feet the expansion is going to be?
Let's see if
I can. The fees based on the square footage.
It is. It's based on the square footage. It's a pretty considerable expansion. Their original traffic impact fee calculation came out, I can quote the numbers to you, I can get you the square footage later, came out to a bit over $80,000 in traffic impact fees. If this ordinance would be adopted by council, those traffic impact fees would be reduced to approximately $20,000.
Okay. And then lastly, reading through this, it says up to 80%. So are we going to debate on whether or not we want to offer the full 80%, or is that up for?
We would recommend the full 80 that's authorized by the RCWs.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had a question there. So that the 80,000 that would be in this particular example, that's based on a calculation, I would hope, of what it costs the city for this expansion to occur. Would you say that the city, if they were to receive $80,000, they'd be recouping staff and other expenses that we have, or why is it that we normally would charge the $80,000, and do we need that money normally?
So I can go ahead and maybe answer broadly and then narrow in. So broadly, of course, the purpose of impact fees is so development pays for itself, in a sense. This is a concept that's enshrined in the state RCWs along with our local codes. The state does recognize, and particularly it's also recognized here in Whatcom County, that we are a child care desert. There's a quote from a 2019 report on that, which we've also cited within the draft ordinance as well. And so we see this really as an opportunity to give some relief for those type of businesses that are looking to expand or to establish themselves new in the area. As far as does the city need, I believe, if I can reflect back to you, were you asking if the city needs those traffic?
Yeah, you've gone into why there should be an exception. It's been more of what you've said just now. I'm trying to isolate. Normally, if we weren't giving an exception, is the reason why we'd be charging an expanding location $80,000 is because the city would need, for example, $80,000 worth of the things that we need to do as a city to provide the whatever things, roads, sidewalks, changes in amount of traffic. Would you say the amount we would normally have been charging without giving an exception reflects the expenses to the city?
I'm not sure I can answer that question directly. It's probably a more appropriate question for someone who knows more the sort of street improvements that have to happen resulting from a new development coming in. But what I would say is that the city charges those fees per an adopted impact fee schedule. It's an equation.
Yes.
That equation, yes, at the time it was established, that equation, when it was adopted by council, was found to be the correct equation for the city to receive the appropriate amount of fees to be able to account for impacts resulting from a new
development. Okay, so if we charge less than that, then that's basically we're making a policy decision that we're making an exception for something that we want to see happening, which means that however we pay for that, those actual traffic impacts would just kind of be spread over the cost of everything else we do, because we're not making this thing pay for itself to the extent that the calculation would normally have it do.
I think that's a very good description.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ms. Pratchner?
Yeah.
I realize this may not apply at the moment if Little Sprouts is the only childcare facility that we're talking about, but I also recognize that under the current model, you have daycare centers, but you also have licensed in-home daycare. And so I wanted to ask if licensed in-home daycare, in-home care meets the definition of an early learning facility, and how the city handles that, if at all. Are they outside that definition?
Most likely the answer is yes, that they are outside of that definition. In-house licensed daycare is usually processed through a business license and then ultimately a home occupation permit or some other land use approval. Impact fees are triggered when a building permit gets submitted. So that's okay. The shade of difference between something in-house and an independent.
Because that's usually operated out of somebody's home as opposed to a business. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
No.
And we have the applicant for Little Sprouts right here.
Jason Bulwari, the owner of Little Sprouts. 3,000 square feet is the answer to the question of the build. And to the answer of the in-homes, they have a maximum size, so they would not be able to expand to the same size as we are. So hope that helps.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for being here.
Any other questions for me?
No. Okay, could I have a motion for the agenda, ordinance 252996, amending chapter 3.80 of the Blaine Municipal Code to add an exemption to traffic impact fees for early learning facilities?
I motion. Second.
Is there any further discussion before we take a vote?
Do we need any further discussion?
Obviously not. So all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? This ordinance has been passed 4-0. Okay, moving on, we have commission, committee, and board reports. And Mr. May, you'd like to comment?
I just wanted to make sure it was known to the rest of council and the record. Last Monday, I went to Washington, D.C., and I spoke to the staff of Congressman Rick Larson, U.S. Senator Patty Murray, and U.S. Senator Maria Cantwell, as well as staffers for the Congressional Transportation Infrastructure Committee, all of which to just kind of verify that we're in a good position and that we are being viewed favorably for the Bell Road overpass, the grade separation project that would alleviate some of the traffic jam ups that happen when the train that bisects the two sections of Blaine and separates the Birch Bay community from the Central Blaine community, because we are seeking federal money to try and help get the ability to cross over top of the train tracks and not have those stoppages. So while speaking to those various staffers, I was able to determine that there's been a few changes in emphasis in how some of that funding is going on, and I got some good specifics, which I shared with the city manager and our staff here. Have y'all started taking some steps towards that new information?
Madam Mayor.
Mr. Harmon.
Thank you, Mayor. So the new information Councilmember May is speaking about is the delegation sort of pointed him toward the rail crossing elimination grant as being the most purposeful grant for our application. And what we have found is that the application for that particular grant is in fact closed. It closed October of 2022. And so we're working with our consultants, Burlington Northern Santa Fe, DEA, and others to kind of determine what is the best path forward. Do we leave our RAISE application in place? To be determined, but short answer is we're on it.
Okay, and I believe I was told that it opens again. It's an annual thing. Is that what the information you got?
Madam Mayor?
Yes, please.
When I look at the federal DOT transportation site, it doesn't indicate that there will be another funding cycle, but I suspect that will determine on what is approved in the next federal budget, but we'll continue to monitor that. DEA is aware of that grant.
Okay, because the verbal information I got was that that if we got it all queued up, that they'd be opening that back up again, you know, in September and October for in a kind of an annual way. So I hope that if that does, that we are ready for that. Okay, great. Thank you very much. That's the update I wanted to give.
Okay, moving on to department reports. City Manager, Mr. Harmon, please.
Thank you, Mayor. So I wanted to bring just attention to the council, the applicant for Manufactured Home Park, Mr. Jansen and JIJ Construction has withdrawn their text amendment request to amend the text to allow great parks greater than 5 acres to be constructed. And so from the terms of staff point of view, there is no further action to take unless otherwise directed by council. So I wanted to give you that update so you heard it from me. Want to also bring to your attention that work has begun on second floor. The remodel has started. We've got estimates for the construction, and it looks like the total package is about $56,000 to include city labor, which is really a remarkable deal when you consider we were thinking about millions of dollars in that expansion. And so we'll be bringing to a series of items for consideration for that project. And then lastly, we continue to watch action at the state level for the Blake decision. We've heard the governor would like to call a special session, but haven't seen such action yet. Chief Tanksley has drafted an ordinance in conjunction with our city prosecutor and others. And so the mayor, chief, and I are all part of a committee that will consider that language with an eye toward what happens at the state and bring you something for consideration so that we don't hit July 1 with no plan. So that's what's going on in our neck of the woods, Mayor. Thank you.
So if I may, I'll just add to that, that at the mayor meeting on Tuesday, it was the opinion of all of the mayors that we need to get together with the Whatcom Council to have a common plan so that we all are in agreement what our codes will be, so that we don't have one city being the one that's out and therefore getting all the potential problems in their city. So the Whatcom small cities and city mayors are going to get together to try and decide what is the best way forward for all of us to work together on that. Okay, next we have Community Development Services Department, Ms. Pratchner.
Outdoors wasn't good enough. Okay. Okay, let me go ahead and start that again. There we go. That is much better. Average among our residential zones, we have a average density to achieve of about 4.25 residential units per acre. According to 5 years of permit data, we're running closer to 4.4, so we are meeting those density projections. We have enough suitable land to accommodate those 20-year population projections, enough land to accommodate employment projections, notwithstanding that we're in Western Washington and there's a lot of critical areas out there in wetlands, and those tend to get bundled in industrial and manufacturing lands. So at this point, the report is going to provide some valuable information for the county and the cities as we jump into the process to do the big periodic update that's due, the 2025 comprehensive plan updates. And as I've notified council, we are starting the process for that with the county. I'd be happy to answer any questions. All right. Thank you so much. I also did send an email. It's on your agenda, but I wanted to let you know in person as well. And Sam said he'd help me bring up a couple. I know. Just had a couple visuals for the council. So on Thursday, May 18th, the city and the Blaine School District are going to be partnering again this year to host a job fair with Blaine's largest employers and public agencies. The fair is going to connect high school and students with public and private sector employees so they can learn about potential employment opportunities that are right here in their own community. We also have Oyster Fest coming up. You may recall that this was in the fall of last year. It has been, yep, there it is. It has been rescheduled to May 20th this year. This is a priority event and project for the city's Tourism Advisory Committee. And so G Street Plaza is going to support a tent where you can get a punch card and you can purchase shellfish and oysters, seafood chowder. All the proceeds are going to go to support local nonprofits. There's going to be a street fair, live music on the plazas, beach cap brewery will be there with a beer garden, and we'll have cooking demos again this year from a chef from the Semiyamu Resort. So hopefully you can make it. The event last year was just a resounding success, and we're looking forward to the same thing this year. Finally, we've also completed a new Taste of Blaine restaurant brochure. This was first provided at the Women's Golf Championship at Semiyamu in the last month. This new brochure is going to be distributed to our local tourism partners. It'll be a valuable addition to a lot of the information at the Blaine Welcome Center. And so this is going to complement, it's designed to complement the city's walking and biking trails brochure, which we completed last year. I want to encourage everyone, council, everyone in the audience, please visit BlaineByTheSea.com. That's the city's tourism website. It's continually kept up to date with events, and we coordinate with the chamber on keeping everything up to date. I'd be happy to answer any questions about the events coming up. Thank you.
Any comments, questions? Okay. Next, we have Public Works Department. Mr. McSpadden, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So last week, we kicked off the G Street sewer project with Strider Construction. Last week pretty much consisted of a lot of potholing utilities, you know, identifying all, you know, all of that good stuff. So when we got to digging this week, it would be a much more fluid, you know, process getting that out of the way. So we did that, and currently we are digging between on G Street between 5th and 6th. We've got about half that block done, and we're going to continue going down G Street. They do have additional crews available, so we are going to have a second crew digging behind the Burger King on that short chunk of sewer main we have up there. And we are also working on the alley on the west side of the truck route. The one that's going to be a little bit of a challenge. We've been working in there with the homeowners. We've been removing fences and doing some tree trimming. Working with we've had a really good response with the homeowners, and we are going to be working in there as well this week. So we're going to be working into some difficult areas, but couldn't be more pleased with Strider. They're doing a great job. They're working great with the team. Everything, you know, I couldn't be more happy where we're at right now. Everything's going well. So,
news.
And so we do have a draft, which was just completed today, and it's being distributed amongst staff. Is the scope for the downtown revite. So we do have that in draft form. It's being reviewed, so we should have something before you all here very soon to look at, and we hope to get that out to bid very soon. We also have staff working on the shellfish grant that's coming up very soon at the end of this month. What we are putting together, where we don't have shovel-ready projects for that, we are going to put together a package for a study to look at anything that we can do project-wise to improve our operation. So that's what we're looking to package up in that and have that ready by the end of this month. Other than that, we did host a high school visit out at PW. We had an open house. We showed the students some equipment. We did some demos for them. We kind of chatted to the individuals about options in the trades. So they had really good engagement from the class. They seemed to really enjoy it. And we will be involved in the job fair coming up this next week as well. So.
Good. Okay, any other?
I had a question here. Great job, Gary, thank you. But I am curious, was there a hiring in the Public Works Department? I thought there was something happening with that. Has that been delayed or the director position?
Madam Mayor.
Please.
That hiring did happen. The director is slated to start 1 June.
Okay, just wanted to know how long we'd still get to enjoy Gary's great job here. Okay, thank you so much.
Hopefully for a long, long time.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Okay, thank you very much. Just draw your attention to calendars, and in particular, the next council meeting on May 22nd at 4 o'clock, we will have a study session with the police and court looking at the Blaine Municipal Codes and an update. So that's going to be a very, very important study session starting at 4. Is there any unfinished business? Any council new business? Okay, I will then adjourn the meeting at 6:51.